Spirit 88.9 FM, good morning. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
Today we are delighted to be joined by Father Thomas Acklin, a Benedictine monk and priest. He's also a professor of theology and psychology at St. Vincent College and Seminary in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. He earned his doctorate in theology and psychology of religion from the Catholic University at Louvain in Belgium and trained in psychoanalysis at the Pittsburgh Psychoanalytic Institute, where he is now a faculty member. He is a spiritual director, psychoanalyst, and author of another book called The Unchanging Heart of the Priesthood. Today, though, we are going to be focusing on the Passion of the Lamb. Father Thomas, good morning. Welcome
good
to our
morning.
Program.
Good to be with you.
I would just like to ask you the opening question that we do of most authors. Why the need to write The Passion of the Lamb?
The effort that I've made throughout a lot of my teaching of seminarians has been to, in teaching Christology, to really try to bring them to the heart of the mystery of Christ. And the heart of Christ is certainly opened up to us on the cross. And so that's certainly been at the heart of my spirituality. But it has seemed to me that in our times, the new evangelization that Pope John Paul II called for is really a call for us to go to the heart of the gospel, of the teachings of the church that we've had these 2,000 years, but that very often we can kind of carry along with us without getting to the heart of them. And so that kind of an urgency in our times really led me to want to do a little writing in Christology, and then this particular project with Servant Books came up and turned into The Passion of the Lamb.
It's so compelling what you put forth in the book, Father, addressing that question of where is Christ in these discussions, because you do point out that in issues of morality and religion these days, and especially in our country, but throughout the whole world, Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus, doesn't seem to be present.
That's right, and I think even in church circles, Catholic church circles, other Christian groups, there is, you know, an alarming way in which we can begin to take a certain set of beliefs and moral teachings and, you know, kind of have those there alongside certain other considerations and other points of view. Now, that's very good from the point of view of ecumenism and of dialogue, but very often it eviscerates, you know, it really takes the vitality out of Christ and out of the gospel, and we begin trying to apply a certain ideal in whatever compromised way we can. Again, in some ways, there are reasons to praise that because we're trying to do the best we can in often very hostile situations that there are toward the Catholic Church. But the danger is that we really lose the force, the radical life of Christ, the personal meaning of Christ, who didn't just leave us an institution and a set of ideas, but who remains with us, as you said, before ascending into heaven. I will be with you always. And that personal presence of Christ in the Eucharist and in the church and in so many ways has to constantly be renewed for us.
Right.
He really commissioned us as members of his body to go out there and stand up for many, for the poor, for the naked, the hungry. And the Catholic Church has taken high-profile stands, as you point out in your book, on contemporary issues. Unfortunately, though, sometimes the members of that body of that church don't stand up when the church does make a stand.
That's right, and I'm afraid that how explicit the agenda is, I'm afraid it is explicit. I think there's kind of an agenda in our country where Catholicism and religion in general are actually much stronger than in European countries and other first world countries. I think that there's a tendency to want to make Catholics kind of get in line and just sort of be part of this country and keep your faith to yourself. And that is probably one of the most insidious attacks against the church.
Amen.
It isn't a frontal attack. Although there has been a lot of attack on the church, but I think many Catholics buy into this idea that, well, I'm a Catholic, but you know, I still have a conscience, and not only that, even though my conscience clearly tells me that abortion is wrong and things like that, that I don't have any obligation, actually I don't have any right to bring my beliefs out into the public square and into the debates and into politics. Many Catholics have, you know, just sort of quietly gone to the sidelines with their faith, and sometimes have felt entitled to make up their own minds and have felt that they can still remain Catholic and sort of do it their own way. And I think that there's a strong force in our nation wanting Catholics to be like that, and certain Catholic politicians and public figures are front stage because they are examples of people who, in some sense, call themselves Catholic, but can vote and can think and mm-hmm. act any way they want.
Yeah, we really have to rail against that kind of pluralism, don't we?
We absolutely do, because that's not pluralism at all. That is, you know, I don't want to call it necessarily hypocrisy, but it is certainly a divided heart.
Right.
And that's, as you point out in the book, that the new evangelization is necessary in these times because you have, there's a passionate need for the truth to be made explicit.
Exactly. I think the, you know, everything we've been saying here has to do with a tendency to leave Christ and leave our faith implicit. Meaning, yeah, you know, we believe these things and, you know, we sort of have them there in the background. Christ insists on being in the foreground. And we need to, as Catholics, and again, I think that this is honestly what Pope John Paul was calling for with the new evangelization. It is making the gospel explicit, putting it out front, integrating it into culture, not letting it be a, you know, some kind of a subculture, or because then it's too easy to consign it to museums and holy days. It has to be explicit. We need to It needs to be clear that we're following Christ and clear that we're Catholic. And we've, in some ways, lost the respect even of some Islamic people because we are not really living our faith and we're not really consistent with what we say we believe in terms of how we live and the type of culture we're producing.
Right.
I love the section on, it's entitled Born Again, and you talk so lovingly about those who are in the church that have returned to a faith that is born out of just a sincere devotion to the church. I think, as you said, they are armed with their catechism of the Catholic Church, protected with scapulars and medals, loving Jesus and Mary, and looking for opportunities to go to Mass and confession and to adore the exposed Blessed Sacrament. And there are other members in the church who look at them and say they're foolish.
That's right. I think that one of the most incredibly powerful and hope-producing things of our times are the powerful conversions that so many people, young people, but people of all ages have. And whether they have been raised Catholic in a mediocre way or nominal way, whether they've fallen away from the faith or whether they've had no faith, powerful conversions. Seminaries are full of men like that. Religious communities that are thriving, which are always the ones that are explicit in ways of witnessing radically to the charism they're embracing. All of this is just really an awesome renewal that has to be of the Spirit. And these very powerful things that have been at the heart of Catholicism, but that had somewhat become eclipsed by other agendas, such as Eucharistic devotion, such as the sacrament of confession, reconciliation. All of these things, I think, have really been ways of making our faith more explicit. And those entering into this kind of conversion are really, I think, going to be the new evangelization, are already bringing about the new evangelization. And at the moment, the Catholic Church is a bit polarized because there are many who sort of adopted as a consequence of Vatican II. I don't think it was the intention of Vatican II at all. Who developed a very implicit kind of faith. that is not really strong in Catholic identity nor strong in Christian identity.
Right.
And they think these people are radical and just clinging to externals and ritualistic and nostalgic. And it's none of that. It's the Holy Spirit.